This morning we want to talk a little bit and study a little bit together along the topic of being imitators. We all are imitators of one sort or another to some degree. I find myself in the area of preaching being an imitator. When Brother Red came and preached, and boy, I liked the way he preached, and I started trying to, preach like that. When I was younger, I'd hear somebody preach, I want to preach like that. And so I guess probably my style of preaching is a little bit of all the different people that I heard throughout my time growing up, and even as an adult, I suppose my style changes to some degree from time to time. To incorporate what I liked about all these different people. And we all do that to some degree in different areas of our life. We may be that we have a friend that has certain sayings. I know when I was in college, there was a fellow that had a saying for everything. And I guess the one that my wife and I picked up most was probably as if. Anytime something had happened that he didn't believe was true, he'd say, as if. And he said that so much that, and we were around him enough that kind of stuff with us to some degree. But we all pick up little things like that, whether it be a saying or maybe a particular item of clothing that we might wear that's popular and we see other people wearing it, or maybe any number of things. Maybe the car we drive. We saw somebody else got a car like that and we liked it, and so we got one like that. And all these kinds of things. But we want to talk today on a spiritual way. We want to imitate certain things that we see and not imitate others, obviously. But we're going to talk today about the things we want to imitate. There was a commercial 5-10 years ago, ran for 2 or 3 years, I believe, with Michael Jordan. And at the end of the commercial it said, "Be like Mike." And I want to say it was a cereal, maybe Wheaties or something. And it would say, "Eat this particular breakfast food and be like Mike." Be like Michael Jordan. And everybody, it was a big saying for a while there. Be like Mike. Everybody wanted to be like Michael Jordan. Well, Michael Jordan's certainly not the worst professional athletes to want to imitate or whatever, but certainly as Christians, we need to strive for something a little higher than just wanting to be like a professional athlete or an actor or actress or rock star or any number of other things that we might think we want to be like. Instead, we need to look to the Scriptures and see who we want to be like. And so, our lesson this morning is, I want to be like who? Who do you want to be like? As we look back and remember the stories from the Bible that we've heard as children and even those that we've heard as adults, we think about some of those people that are our favorite characters in Scripture. They're our favorites, and we think so highly of them. And of course, some did good things and some did bad things, and most, of course, as is recorded in the Bible, there was a mixture. They did some good and some bad. And so we want to pick out the good things and imitate those things and stay away from those bad things that they did. The Scripture that was read in Hebrews 6, we want to go back to verse number 10 and then go through verse 12. We just read verse 12 earlier, but we want to go back and pick up a little bit of the context. He says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." So he says, God's not going to forget the good things that you do as Christians. He's not going to forget about that. That would be unjust and unrighteous of him to do that. "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." He says, keep going. Keep doing it. Keep doing all those good things that you've been doing. Then verse 12 he says, "That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Be followers or imitators, the New King James says. Imitators of those individuals who were doing what was right, who through the faith and the patience that they had are going to inherit the promises. We know about the promises. We want to inherit those promises. We want a home in heaven. We want to have all the blessings that God promises us here on earth. Maybe we don't want the suffering and persecution that comes along with it, but we want all those good things. And the only way we can get all those good things is if we keep working, if we show some diligence and continue to follow those individuals from Scripture who kept going and did the right thing. So we want to look at just a few people this morning, some from the Old Testament, some from the New. Now certainly, Jesus is our greatest example. We all know and understand that. But there, of course, are some things that aren't dealt with his life. John said that if everything that he did was written down, the whole world wouldn't be able to hold the books. So there's a lot that we just don't know about what he did during his life, but we know a lot of things about other characters in the Bible as well. So who do we want to be like? Well, first of all, we want to be like Paul, forgetting the things in the past and moving on toward the future, looking to the future. Now, not worrying about the future, not dwelling continually on the future, but looking forward instead of looking back. Kind of hard to get anywhere if you're looking back. As long as we're looking behind us, we're going to walk around like somebody that's drunk, because we're not going to be able to see where we're going. But if we will look ahead and look where we're going, we'll be able to walk straight. And so, like Paul, and Paul says in Philippians that he forgot about those things that were behind him, and he was pressing on toward the goal. In Philippians chapter 3, and verses 13 and 14, he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he was pressing forward, continuing to move along, and I want to be like that too, and I hope you do too, that we want to keep moving forward, not moving backwards. We might think about that individually. I don't want to forget the scriptures that I've learned. I want to keep learning some more scriptures. I don't want to stop coming to some of the assemblies that I'm coming to now. I want to keep going to more assemblies of the saints than I'm going to now. I don't want to read less of the Bible than I am now. I want to read more than I am now. I want to press forward. I want to be growing and moving forward in every area. The church, of course, the church, we don't want the church to be shrinking. We want it to be growing. We don't want the church to be having to go back and study the simple elements of New Testament Christianity. We want them to be able to be moving on and learning more and gaining a greater knowledge and a deeper wisdom of God's Word. And so, all of these ways we need to be forgetting about the past and moving on. We also, of course, along those lines of forgetting the past, we don't want people to be pulling up the bad things that we've done in the past. We've all done some bad things in the past, but we want to keep those in the past. We don't want those brought into our present and into the future. And we don't want to go back to doing those things that we did then. We want to be past that and beyond that. Just as a child who, at a very early age, has a lot of trouble spitting up and has a lot of trouble when they start to learn to walk with falling down, and they have all those troubles, but boy, by the time they're 10 years old, if they're still having all those troubles of spitting up their food and stumbling and having falling down every time they try to walk, well, something wrong with that child. In fact, by the time they're 3 or 4, if they're still having that trouble, we say, we better check into this. Something's not quite right. They're not developing as they should. So we want to get past all those things. We all know we did bad things in the past, but we don't want to dwell on those things anymore. That's in the past. We want to move on to the future. Then, I want to be like David. Now, certainly there are some things about David's life that we don't want to imitate, but we want to be like David in lifting up our eyes to the hills from which our help comes. David says in the 121st Psalm, he speaks of this. Psalm 121, and beginning in verse 1, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And then he clarifies. Now, we understand that he's not talking about the fact that our help actually comes from some hills, from some lumps of dirt. He clarifies in verse 2. He says, my help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. So that's we put our hope and our faith in God that he will take care of us. And we look to him for our help when we need help. And so like David, we need to be looking toward the hills. Looking for God. Looking to him who can help us. And who can, it says he will not suffer, or suffer there means allow. He will not allow your foot to be moved. We can move our foot on our own. We can step right out of God's hand and wander into Satan's camp if we want to. But as long as we want to abide in him, and as long as we keep ourselves to him, he will not allow someone else to take us away. He won't allow Satan to take us away as long as we're fighting to keep in him. Now many times though, we don't try very hard. We come to the worship with the saints, and then we forget about it for the rest of the week. And then we come back on Sunday and worship with them, and we forget about it the rest of the week. And during that whole week, Satan has a chance to attack us. And we're not keeping our eyes on Christ. We're not continuing to study and to pray and to have fellowship with the other saints. You know, the early church, they were having fellowship continually because they recognized that need for strength from one another. They recognized that. And so they were constantly getting together and calling on one another to help in their times of need. And we need to be doing that today as well. Then I want to be like Abraham, trusting God completely. When Abraham led Isaac up, thinking that he was going to sacrifice his only son, the son that God had promised him, and he led Isaac up to that mountain and began to prepare the altar. In Genesis in chapter 22, as Abraham is tested, he takes Isaac up the mountain, and here he is, about to slay his son. He's already tied him up. He's already got him on the altar, and he's picking up the knife, about to stab it into his son. And then God stops him. But he trusted God to such a great degree. We're told in another place that he believed that since God had brought Isaac about, I mean, here he was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. There's nobody in here that old. They were older than anybody that we've got alive here with us today in this auditorium. And they were having children. We think it's something of somebody 45 or 50 having a child. They were twice that old. And they were having a child. Abraham believed that if God could cause them to have a child, then even if he killed his son, God would be able to raise him from the dead. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about that. How he had that kind of faith that God was able, even if he slew him, that he would be able to bring him back from the dead. Verse 17 of Hebrews 11 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. It was his only one. It was the one that the promise had been made about. The promise said that in Isaac, your descendants will be called, your seed, your descendants. They're going to be called, going to come through Isaac. And here he is, he's going to have to kill Isaac. But verse 19 says, he was accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He trusted God completely. Without a doubt at that point. Now there were other points in Abraham's life where his faith wavered. When he went down to Egypt land and he told Sarah, he said, look Sarah, you tell them you're my sister, because if they find out you're my wife, they're going to kill me. He didn't trust God that time. But at this point in his life, after he had grown up, he trusted God completely. And we need to want to be like Abraham. Trust trusting God completely, implicitly. No matter what He says, we do it because He says so. Without asking questions and questioning Him. Then, I want to be like Moses. I want to be like Moses. Moses chose suffering over pleasure. Now why did he choose that? Because he liked pain? No, it wasn't because of that. He chose the suffering because that's what the righteous were going through. He rejected the pleasure because that's what the sinful were doing. And so he chose the suffering for a time rather than the pleasure for a time. It says there in Hebrews 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have been the next king over Egypt, or at least very high in the government of Egypt. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was in the line of royalty. He had been adopted by that family. Could have been very important, but he chose to reject that. And verse 25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Bible never denies that sin is pleasurable. If we do, we're liars. Sin is pleasurable. The devil would have been out of business a long time ago if it wasn't. But what we have to understand about the pleasures of sin, they're only for a season. Now, most of us in here have lived many seasons. There are four seasons in every year. We've lived many, many seasons. And we know a season doesn't last very long. Winter right now, but it won't be long before it'll be spring, when it'll be over. Yesterday it felt like winter was already over. But we know that a season's not very long. It's a short period of time compared to a year, compared to a lifetime, certainly compared to eternity. You can't even comprehend sometimes of how long eternity is. So we want to be like Moses and choose to suffer affliction under righteousness rather than pleasure with sin, because that pleasure under sin is just going to be for a short time. And then it's going to be a long time of suffering as a result of that. Then I want to be like Enoch. Enoch, there's not a whole lot said about in the Bible. The book of Jude says that Enoch prophesied and that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. The book of Genesis confirms that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. It doesn't say anything about him prophesying and preaching and teaching. But what it does say in Genesis chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, it says that Enoch, beginning in verse 21, it says that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Then verse 22 says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Here we have one of only two examples in the Bible of someone who didn't die. And notice what it says about him. Enoch walked with God. I want to be like Enoch. I want to walk with God every day. Not just on Sunday. Not just for an hour or 2 hours of Sunday morning. I want to walk with God daily. But then secondly, notice that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Now certainly, we want to start younger than that if we can. We want to start walking with God from an early age. But don't children sometimes impress upon us the importance of walking after God? The importance of raising those children upright. The importance of showing those children how to live, because we know they're going to imitate us. They're going to want to be like mama. They're going to want to be like daddy. And we know if we're not living right, they're not going to live right. And so Enoch learned at the age of 65, when he had his son Methuselah, that he better be walking with God. He better do it right. Now, it's very possible that Enoch walked with God before that as well, but we have record here that after Methuselah was born, he walked with God. For 300 years, he was faithful to God. Then, I want to be like Job. I want to be patient and faith will no matter what happens. Don't want to blame God when seemingly bad things happen to me. Don't want to blame God when I lose a loved one. Don't want to blame God when I get sick. Don't want to make it out to be His fault. I want to be faithful to Him and understand that the suffering is a result of the sin that's in the world and not as a result of God. God never wanted sin to be in the world. He created Adam and Eve perfect without sin. He didn't want sin. Sin is the thing that causes suffering and pain. And so we want to be like Job and be patient. In the whole book of Job, we see Job's patience and his faithfulness, even when his wife tells him, just curse God and die, Job. But that's how bad off you are right now. You'd be better off to just curse God and die. But Job refused to do that. Instead, he cursed himself. He said, what a horrible thing it is that I was ever born. But he praised God. He knew that God was the one who was faithful no matter what. God would not do anything unjust, unfair, unrighteous. He knew that there must have been some reason for the suffering he was going through. Then I want to be like Joseph and turn my back on all evil advances. Remember the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife? Potiphar's wife kept coming after him. Kept trying to get him to come in and lie with her. And by that we don't mean to tell an untruth. She wanted him to lay in bed with her. And he refused, and he refused, and he refused. And finally one day when she caught him in the house, he was by himself in the house, and she grabbed a hold of his clothes. And he had to leave his clothes to get away from her. He left his coat with her. And of course she made up a story, and he had to suffer as a result of that. Probably if he had given in to her, she'd have never told her husband. She didn't want her husband, wouldn't have wanted her husband to know. But because he did what was right, he wound up being cast into prison. Just like Moses, he had to suffer some ill because of his righteousness. But how much better it is to suffer for a short time here on earth and be righteous, to go home with God in heaven, than to be unrighteous here and to have to suffer for eternity with the devil. Then I want to be like Gideon, willing to advance even though I'm outnumbered. You know, as Christians, we're outnumbered in this world. There are more out there in the world against us than there are with us. But Gideon knew, and we need to know, that God's on our side. And God makes a majority by himself. God outnumbers everybody else. And so if we're on his side, we have the advantage. Gideon with just 300, Gideon started out with a big old army. And God kept telling him, you got too many folks, Gideon. And Gideon had to be saying, okay, I'm starting out with this many here, and we're already outnumbered. There's already more of them than there are of us. We would have got too many. I need to get some more. Got too many? But God kept whittling down and whittling down until finally he got down to Gideon with just 300 soldiers. And they fought the entire army with just 300 folks. And God did that to prove the point. He wanted to make it clear to them that you're not winning this battle. I'm winning this battle. If there were more of us than there are of them, we'd expect to win. We think we should win. But when we're outnumbered, we have to depend on God to win the battle for us. We need to, like Gideon, learn to depend on God and count on Him to lead the attack and be able to advance against the enemy, even though we have few friends on our side. Then I want to be like Andrew. Andrew's not spoken of too much in the Bible, in the New Testament. But the few times he is mentioned, he's always doing something good. Andrew, he's not like Paul. He wasn't all over the world traveling, from what we know in the scriptures. He wasn't like Peter. He wasn't always speaking out and saying great things or stupid things, whichever the case may have been. But Andrew was always doing what needed to be done. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist is standing with two of his disciples. One of those disciples is Andrew. And he says, when Jesus walks by, behold, the Lamb of God. Well, those two disciples picked up on what he was saying. They realized that this was the Savior, this is the Christ. And so those two started to follow Jesus. Verse 40 tells us that one of the two which heard John speak was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, some of you don't know how demeaning that sounds. Some of you do. If you've ever been a younger brother or sister, and as you came up through school, you were, oh, well, you're so-and-so's brother or so-and-so's sister. Well, that's how Andrew is known. He was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. That's how he's known. That's how, maybe he was just shy, apparently he was the younger one, or at least he wasn't the one that was as well known. And so, sometimes, you know, we get in trouble because somebody just expects, well, you know, your brother was a troublemaker, so I know you're going to be trouble. You know, and those kinds of things get put on us. But Andrew was known, he was Simon Peter's brother. But notice what he does. The first thing he does after he hears what John the Baptist said, and then after he goes after Jesus, and he asks Jesus some questions, and Jesus answers those questions, and the first thing he does in verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, or the Christ. We found it. We found the one that all the prophecies were talking about. He's here. He went first thing and told his brother. So I want to be like Andrew, striving to bring my family, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, friends even, to Christ. And along those same way, I want to be like Philip. Philip's talked about in the very next section. Philip went and found Nathanael, his friend. And he told Nathanael, we found the one Moses wrote about. We found him. And Nathanael then, kind of reluctantly, Nathanael asked the question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Because that's where Jesus had come from. And Philip just said, you come see. So Nathanael did. He came and saw, and of course, he too believed and followed Jesus. Philip and Andrew, two examples. One bringing family to Christ, the other bringing friends to Christ. I want to be like both of them, bringing my family and friends to Christ. And then, finally, I want to be like Peter too. Even though Peter said some stupid things sometimes, and even though he often has put his foot in his mouth, maybe both feet all the way up to the knees from time to time, he did from time to time come up with something good as well. Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, asking his disciples about who people said he was, and so they tell him different things. And then he says, well, who do you think I am? Who do you say I am? And Peter's the one that answered, always the first one to answer, but this time he got the answer right. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, he didn't get that from his own wisdom. He didn't get that from somebody else. Jesus says, you got that from God. The Father revealed that to you. So I want to be like Peter in two ways here. First of all, I want to be like Peter, willing to confess Christ, willing to boldly say that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But secondly, I want to get my information from the right source. I want to get my information from God. Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. We want to get the source right for our information. So who do you want to be like? Certainly there are a lot of other Bible characters that we could want to be like. Lots of them did a lot of good things, but these are just a few that I want to be like. I want to be like Paul, forgetting the things that are in the past and moving forward. I want to be like David, lifting up my eyes to the hills and to God for my help. I want to be like Abraham and trust God completely. I want to be like Enoch and walk daily with God. I want to be like Moses and be willing to suffer for a time rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a time. I want to be like Job and be patient no matter what the circumstances and faithful to God. I want to be like Joseph and turn my back on all the temptations that confront me. I want to be like Gideon and advance against the enemy even though I'm outnumbered. And I want to be like Andrew and Philip, bring my friends and family to Christ. And I want to be like Peter, confessing Christ and getting my information from the right source. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you haven't been living as you should, haven't been imitating the right people, been imitating the wrong people, or maybe you've been imitating the wrong thing about certain people. You may need to respond to the invitation. If you would, please do as we stand and as we sing.